So item three is the principles and guidance for the 2023-2025 agency request budget development with Bill Herber presenting. And so take it away, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Chair Kelly. Good morning, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. For the record, Bill Herber, Deputy Director for Administration. Like Chair Kelly mentioned, this is a decision item, so we will be looking for your input and final approval of these guiding principles. Like Kyle mentioned earlier, we will be discussing the guided principles that we, the department, and the board will use throughout our upcoming budgeting process for the 2023-25 Agency Request Budget, or ARB, as we'll commonly refer to it, to really keep us focused on those issues critical to our success in the coming biennium. As these guidelines are the board's opportunity to provide direction to the department for its efforts to develop its budget, I will be leaving most of the time we have available for board discussion. I understand that you just received these draft guidelines this week, but what we are looking for is discussion, input, and direction on finalizing these principles to define the guidance department leadership needs throughout this budget development process. Before we get started with that, much like the legislative concepts, I'd like to provide a little general guide timeline on the budget process for the state as a whole. We'll talk a little bit about the board's specific engagement in that process during our work plan topic coming up next. The state's biennial budget process starts for our agency in March 2022, but there's a lot of work happening before that. When we receive budget instructions from the Department of Administrative Services, we begin the technical prep for the budget process. In April, DASA's statewide audit and budget reporting section will kick off the budget cycle and open the systems for agency input. That's when we start much of the technical work on our side. One key date I want to point out in April is typically around April 30th is our deadline and opportunity to submit any changes to our KPMs. Currently, we have no changes slated, but that's the window of opportunity if we think there are changes needed for our key performance measures. During May and June, agency budget staff are providing DAS a wide array of budget and position information, much of the nuts and bolts of our budget input. The end of July really marks the end of our technical input for the agency request budget. And finally, on September 1st, we are required to submit our ARB narrative to DAS. This is the actual binder document that Chair Kelly will certify on behalf of the department. So that's a timeline. And with that out of the way, I think we can move to attachment one for this agenda item, the actual guidelines we have put in front of you. If you have been a board member long enough to remember these from past biennia, you may see that we have pared them down a bit to reduce redundancy and repetitiveness and really capture and recognize the current budget climate. In addition, we have taken board input from the October retreat and other board meetings into consideration. Overall, the guidelines set the SAGE to provide an open, transparent, and inclusive process that will accept input from all areas, including our agency, the board, and stakeholders. Several of the guidelines state just that. Beyond that, there's a few core themes that truly reflect the current state of our budget and direction from the board and or the governor's office. Those themes are focusing on core business and holistically approaching our budget as an agency, not distinct business lines. Next, we want to fully implement and execute the current budget. In 21-23, we were given a significant investment in personnel, funding, and program delivery, all of which will be challenging in of itself to execute during this biennium. We must deliver on those commitments of those investments before looking beyond. And as was stated, climate change. Many of the issues we face now are resultant of the impacts of climate change. Our proposed budget needs to reflect that reality. And finally, we need to further our efforts on racial and social justice, ensuring what we deliver both internally and externally is equitable for all. So you may be asking, how will these guidelines be used? They will provide the foundation for all discussion within agency leadership as we brainstorm policy option packages and other changes to our budget. When we come to the board in future meetings, these guidelines will provide a metric for prioritization and inclusion of concepts the department brings you. In short, they will provide the lens we look through as we craft potential modifications to our budget. With that, I would like to open up this discussion for adding, modifying, or ultimately approving the guidelines the department we'll utilize to work through the 23-25 biennial budget process. Thank you, Chair Kelly.
Board members, we have questions and or comments.
Jim, Brenda McComb for the record. Yeah, thank you. Just an observation, and I see this often, so I'm just going to make the comment here. So, Bill, thank you for the concise document that outlines the budget development principles. I don't have any disagreement with any of them. I think that items 1 through 8 all make sense. But oftentimes I see reference to diversity, equity, and inclusion be the last thing in a list. And, you know, I and it's not just in this instance, it's in many other places that where I've seen it, and not just with ODF. So I just suggest that it be and I'm sure that these one through eight are not in priority order. They're just a list. But the fact that it always comes up last does send a message.
Completely concur with that, Brenda. Actually, the numbers, you are correct. This is not a priority list and certainly is not meant to identify that, but completely agree. I actually was going to bring up part of this discussion can be that exact prioritization of these things if we, as a board, do want to prioritize these things and arrange them in such that it does mean something like that. Great observation.
Thank you, Bill.
Do we have any other questions or comments? So, okay, Ben, I see your hand up.
Go ahead. Wanted to echo Brenda's comments and Bill, to your point about prioritization, there's a common theme that I think we've been touching on this morning already, and that's capacity. And we all have a wish list of projects. Everyone in this Zoom room has a wish list of things we want to get done. And there's a lot of positions that the department's trying to hire for right now. And coming up with new ideas sounds fun, but we have to find the capacity to implement that. And so for me, as I look at these priorities, these principles, and think about this larger conversation, I think build capacity. And I'm sure you well know that's much more than just finding more positions. It's building out all the other parts of the department that support those positions and gives us the capacity to hire and then support those new hires with offices and infrastructure and all of those things. And I see really as a fundamental framework here is capacity building. There is a lot of work in front of the department, and it's not an easy task, but it's what I see really as sort of the priority. And I feel like it's very important. I appreciate how you pointed out in those principles that we can't get ahead of ourselves. We need to be realistic. But in my personal interest in wanting to advance all sorts of cool ideas, how do we build that capacity?
Exactly right, Ben. Actually, principle number 2 about focusing on the investments we were given this biennium is exactly that. We were given almost 200 positions, and through that sheer scope of that, we have not filled all of those to date. And that focus needs to be on filling that capacity to move forward. Agree completely.
Great. Any other comments or questions on this topic?
Tara, this is Chandra. I have a quick question. So I kind of feel a little bit of a tension between wanting to make sure that we have the investment. You just got a historic investment. We want to put it forward and demonstrate progress, right? And build the infrastructure. But there's also the historic opportunity that's coming, of course, with potentially more federal funds that are very relevant to the work you do. And so I wonder about a principle, and maybe it's already encompassed in there, but you know, thinking about how you leverage all of the different opportunities and funding sources that we're seeing coming through, because we have to think so far in advance And I know some of these investments might be around for several more years. So maybe you have another budget cycle to be able to capitalize on that when some of these are a little bit more concrete. But it seems like that would be a good lens to consider as well as how you best leverage other funding sources out there. Yeah, and I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. In that case, we will move on to public testimony. Hillary, do we have anyone signed up to provide a comment on this item?
Yes, Chair Kelly, we do have someone ready in the Zoom queue.
Okay. Thank you for those who signed up to provide testimony to the board today. We ask that you not exceed the allotted time of 3 minutes. I ask that before you start, you state your full name and associated affiliation if representing a group or organization. A timer will be provided to track your time, and if you exceed this time, someone will prompt you to provide a closing statement. If we are ready, Hillary, go ahead and proceed.
Thank you. For those in the queue for item 3, thank you for joining us today. You'll be unmuted for the comment portion and muted upon conclusion of your comments. When I call on you, a timer will begin. When you see that timer run out, we just ask that you provide your closing statement. And on deck today we have is Ms. Astor. If you can get ready, I will go ahead and prepare your timer. Ms. Astor, we're ready for you to begin.
All right, sorry about that. Chair Kelly, State Forester Makimoto, and members of the board, for the record, my name is Amanda Astor, and I'm the Forest Policy Manager at Associated Oregon Loggers. Thank you for allowing me to provide public comment today on agenda item 3. AOL represents hundreds of small family forest businesses, and our forest contracting members are critical for the success of ODF to fulfill its core business. The department must look to the ways in which this workforce is maintained and can grow. Governor's office has created a workforce development plan proposal that will be presented during the House Economic Recovery and Prosperity Committee hearing next week during legislative days. AOL asks that guiding principle number 5 reflect the need of the department to ensure the forest contracting workforce is also viable, which is in line with the governor's workforce initiative. Principle 5 should be expanded to say, quote, support and develop a viable, effective, highly skilled, diverse, and empowered workforce and organization that maintains or enhances the department's core business function, end quote. AOL believes this change would clarify and allow the department to consider developing policy option packages for new positions as needed under the guiding principles of budget development. Conversely, a new guiding principle could be added to call out the priority to develop a more robust forest contracting workforce, similar to the request for a specific guiding principle on climate change. Without a robust forest contracting workforce, implementation of Senate Bill 762, the department's FMP, reforestation across the state, and other forest management objectives cannot be implemented. AOL has hired a workforce development manager, and we are building a new workforce development program. We want the department to be a partner in this work. With that, I am available for questions and wanted to thank you for the opportunity again to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Astor. We appreciate your participation and you're welcome to stay in the Zoom meeting for the remainder of the item. However, we ask that you remain muted for the rest of this item. Chair Kelly and members of the board, this concludes our public testimony portion.
Okay, thank you. So board members, any questions from what we have heard or would someone like to present a motion?
I would present a motion. And I think in part of that motion would be Bill Herber's presentation in addition to the addition to that number 5 recommended by Amanda Astor to reflect that growing need for workforce development. So I would include that in my motion.
I would second that, Chair Kelly. It's Joe Justice for the record.
Okay, we have a motion and any discussion on that motion as edited? Not hearing any, and I also support that change. So we have a motion and it has been seconded. I'm going to ask all the board members to unmute and prepare to vote when their name is called for the record. Liz?
I vote aye.
Ben Doimling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Joe Justice?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
Carla Chambers?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. The board is in consensus. The motion carries. We are 12 minutes past our scheduled time for our morning break. So we were scheduled to do 15 minutes, but I'm going to, I think we're going to need to shorten that. So it's 10:12 right now, 10 minutes. Let's all get back here at 10:22. Thank you.